Good afternoon. This is Rabbi Eitan Tokayer, Brooklyn, New York, for our weekly Pirkei Avos pick-me-up. I would like to focus today on a Mishnah in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Zayin. The Mishnah states, Shimon beno Omer, kol yomai gadalti ben hachachamim. Shimon, the son of his son, meaning the son of the previous Tana mentioned, and that is Gamliel. We're talking about Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. So Shimon ben Gamliel teaches, Kol yomai gadalti ben hachachamim. My entire life, I grew up, I was reared in the presence of chachamim, of wise people, of sages. V'lo matzasi laguf tov el ashtika. And I never found anything better for the body than silence. V'lo hamedrash hu ikar. And it is not the abstract thinking and studying and learning when it comes to Torah that is primary. Ela hamaaseh. Rather, action. Right? And thirdly, kol amar bedvarim may vichet. Anybody who indulges in a lot of excessive talkativeness is going to generate avera. So these are three limudim of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, and taken together, they're pretty much a condemnation of speech and communication in one way or another. That would, I would say, would be the common denominator of them all. Talk is cheap, action is real. Talk can lead to frivolity and terrible averas. And, you know, talk and silence, of course, or quiet is better than speech. So, taken as a whole, this Mishnah is one broadside against Dibur. However, each of these limudim, each of these teachings in and of themselves are significant and require elucidation. What I would like to do today is focus in just on the first of these three. Lo matzasi laguf tov ela shesika. That I never found anything better for a person, for a body, for an individual, better than quiet, better than silence. So what exactly does this mean? On one level, it means exactly what it says, that for a person to be silent and quiet is better than to be a chatterer. However, this bumps up against some very significant counter teachings of the Chachamim. For example, in Abai Shalomid, somebody who is bashful cannot learn, meaning that you're supposed to engage in talking and speaking up. So to say that quiet is an unequivocal, or silence is an unequivocal, unabashed, and an absolute value, just on that one teaching alone, it seems to be counterindicated. But there are, in order to understand this line, this teaching of Pirkei Avos, first we have to know what the correct statement, what the correct girsa, what is the proper nusach of this Mishnah. And here there are two variant texts. There is the text, as most likely you have in your own Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Lo matzasi laguf tov, I never found anything better for the body, ela shtika, more than quiet and silence. Nothing could be better than silence. That's the common text. However, Tiferes Yisrael, Perish Yachanu Boaz says, it is not ela shtika, that I never found something but silence to be good for the person, but rather the proper nusach, the proper text here is lo matzasi laguf tov mishtika. In other words, nothing ever good came out of being silent. Nothing ever good came out. Lo matzasi laguf tov mishtika. I never found anything good that came out of being silent. So here we have two variant texts, two different girsos, and each of these texts brings us into an entirely different an opposite direction. Silence is good. That's one elashtika. Silence is really no good. Mishtika. So let's take a look at the common approach first. And what I'd like then to do is share with you an idea, that is, I think, not just a nice perush on this Mishnah, but rather it is a profound principle, what it means to be a Torah Jew. So let's start with this variant text here. Lo matzasi lo guf tov mishtika. Nothing good ever came out of being silent. So the Yochanan Abba says, first Yisrael says the following. What this Mishnah, what Shimon ben Gamliel is talking about, is Talmud hayoshev lefnei rabo, a student sitting before their Rebbe. And this is an educational lesson. It's an educational point that might have broader ramifications, but we start with the educational point. Because a student sitting before their Rebbe is like a guf hamevakesh ruach, like a body that is seeking, that is yearning, that is pining for a spiritual soul. Olav Amar, on such an individual, shafilu b'derech metziah le'itim rechokim lo matzasi she'ish kazeh yarviach klal shum davar mishtika. Such an individual cannot benefit at all from silence. If you have a student in a classroom who just sits there and listens to the Rebbe, listens to the teacher, talk and talk and talk, well, there might be some learning that goes on, perhaps, but ultimately, where real education happens, where real learning occurs, where true assimilation of principles, ideas, and knowledge becomes part and parcel with one's being, is when a person engages. It's not just that nothing good comes out of being silent, but if a student sits there, in the words of the Yochanan Boaz, midhu yoshev kipesel mishomem, is like a dumb, meaning inability to speak, a dumb statue, a dumb idol. In other words, just sitting there doing, I don't want to say doing nothing, there's something happening, but somebody who's sitting there who is not fully engaged, and fully engaged, he says, means through dibor. Dibor is part and parcel of what makes learning happen. Even now, as you and I are engaged in some measure of learning here, you are in the recipient role, but because of the fact that I have the luxury, the benefit, and the opportunity to actually be uttering these words, I myself am relearning, re-understanding, and deepening my connection to this limud. Even more, I would dare say, than just those of us that are sitting here listening. So, Milvadko, he says, it's mazik. For a person to engage in Talmud Torah in a passive way without dibur as a primary way of engaging Talmud Torah, that's maziklo. It's mazik l'tfisa. It damages one's comprehension, milachdod and sharpening, ulizikaron and to memory. So, derak al yidei hapilpul v'akushil shelo v'atirutzum sheyitar etzlo rabo yovin hadavar l'ishuro. If you really want to understand, you really want to be able to assimilate this and make it part and parcel, which is what learning is, not simply knowing what something, what has been written or what has been taught. It is making it part and parcel. That really only comes through active engagement, i.e. dibor. Right? It's not always possible. Right now, it's not always possible, right now on our on this call. But true, best, ideal is through dibor. Okay? So that's the variant text. Lo matzasi lagof tov mishtika. Never saw anything that good that came out of being a silent. And in the context of, of learning, of education, of a student, of anybody who wants to learn, not just a kid in school, anybody who wants to truly learn must engage, cannot be passive. Okay, that's one approach here. I'll share with you a couple of other perushim on this statement of Shimon ben Gamliel. Let's go back to the more common girsa. Lo matzasi laguf tov ela shtika. I never found anything as good for the body as silence. So here, I'm not going to give you each parish that says what, but just I'll give you a few quick ones. Number one, perhaps some of us might be familiar with the teaching Al Pi Kabbalah, which is popularized by our Bali Hasidus, that every person is given a certain amount of words of speech in their lifetime, and when they have outlived their allotted speech, then their neshama goes back to their creator. So in that sense, ein lo matzasi laguf tov ela shtika. I never found anything good for the body. If the body wants to continue to live, if the physical person wants to continue to live, should minimize your speech, because you won't run out of your allotted speech. Another sort of quickie here is lo matzasi laguf tov ela shtika. You know what our parents taught us when we're children: don't talk while you're eating. So the person, God forbid, is talking while they're eating, then they can, God forbid, choke and die. Lo matzasi laguf tov ela shtika. Nothing is as good for the body while you're eating as silence, because you won't, God forbid, a person won't, God forbid, choke and harm, or God forbid, even die as a consequence. So we have an educational approach to this. You know, we have a health approach to this. We have a life expectancy approach to this. One payer says, "Lo matzasi laguf tov ela shtika," means that it depends on the context. If we're talking about divrei hevel, if we're talking about just stam, you know, shooting the breeze, I'm not saying that shooting the breeze cannot have value to it, but if we're just talking about shooting the breeze, lo matzasi laguf tov ela shtika, on things that are materially focused, things, you know, that are that are all about physicality. Lo matzasi laguf tov ela shtika. On these things, less is better. Less is better. Ah, but when it comes to ruchnius, when it comes to matters of Torah, matters of the spirit, matters of the neshama, connecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam, there, dibur is wonderful, and dibur is highly encouraged. So it depends on the context. One other idea. Lo matzasi laguf tov ela shtika. We live in a tension as beings that are both body and soul, both guf and neshama, guf and ruach. And that tension is, you know, sometimes you just have to live with that tension, but very often in life, one comes at the expense of the other. In other words, while I'm not saying it's impossible, but for a lot of people, I think it's challenging to sit down to a steak dinner and that be a ruchnius experience. And by the same token, for a person to be engaged in Yom Kippur, which is all ruchnius, so when we're engaged in the ruchnius, so our guf, our material body, our material impulses, our physical desires come at an expense as well. So again, I'm not saying every experience and for every person at all times. Ideally, a person is created both with guf and a neshama, and we should be able to sort of live with that tension, and especially to be able to find ruchnius even in the gashmius, to find spirituality even in physical. But the reality of human experience is not really as such. And the reality of human experience is that you go out to dinner and you sit at a fine restaurant and you're enjoying an appetizer followed by a nice main dish and a delicious dessert, while it may be wonderful in so many ways, for many people, it is not necessarily a ruchnius experience. So here is the vort. Lo matzasi laguf tov ela shtika. If you want to be able, the best thing to do is to quiet the body. Lo matzasi laguf tov ela shtika. You should quiet the body, quiet our material, our physical impulses and desires, in order that our inner self, our neshama our souls can soar. That's one more approach. Okay, so I gave you a lot of quickies over here, how to understand lo matzasi laguf tov ela shtika, both in the girsa, in the text of mishtika. Being silent is nothing good came out of that, as well as elashtika, that silence is gold and silence is beautiful. Okay, in order to give you this one final approach, which I'd like to share with you, which I believe is can offer us really a profound principle of how a Torah Jew conducts their life, have to go back one step. And we can even find a pasuk in this last week's Sedra, in Sefer Devarim, Parshas Devarim. Pasuk says, and if you were in shul, you probably noticed it more than the other psukim, because it's read according to the trap of Eicha. Eicha esolavadi tarchachem o masachem verivchem. Moshe Rabbeinu complains to the Ribbono Shel Olam, or declares, declares, how can I bear the trouble that you, Bnei Yisrael, are affording me? And the Torah gives us three synonyms here, three variations of how much trouble and burden Bnei Yisrael are to Moshe Rabbeinu. How can I carry you alone? Eicha salavadi, you are a burden. Tarchachem, you're a burden. Masachem, you're a burden. Verivchem, you're quarrelsome. So what's going on here? The Torah has an economy of language, and for Moshe Rabbeinu to say, Tarchachem, Asachem, Verivchem, three variations of basically saying, you're too much for me, is too much for the Torah. So the Mefarshim jump in on this, and the Mefarshim give us an understanding of the nuance of each of these words. So the Sforno, And there are many approaches. I'm going to share with you the view of the Sforno. Sforno says, what is tarchachem? Tarchachem means petty arguments that people have with one another that do not involve financial disputes. Right? There's no material harm here. I'm upset at you for this reason. You did this to me. You did that to me. I did that to you. You didn't speak nicely. You didn't invite me to your chasana. All types of things that people can have tainas on one another. That these are kitatos. These are disputes. But these disputes have no financial aspect to them whatsoever. Okay, that's tarchachem. What masachem, says the Sforno? Masachem is tzarchei rabim. Tzarchei rabim means public policy issues for the community. Everybody getting into fights about what the right public policy is for the community. And I'm sure I don't have to give examples just over the last year of all types of public policy issues that have come up in shuls as it relates to COVID and health and masks and no masks, sahin, aher. All types of things, but they're always debates and disputes as to what public policy should be, how tzedakah funds should be allocated, how schools should be run, how yeshivas, how shuls, all types of things. Okay, and the people were engaged in these disputes as well. Now Moshe Rabbeinu could be forgiven for saying Eicha Salavadi. For these two things, tarchachem u'masachem, I mean, it's enough. It's enough. People have to. People can disagree and they can debate over issues, but everything to be a big machlokas, and it to devolve into into anger and hatred and just complain. Moshe Rabbeinu is a human being, can be forgiven. But the Sforno says on the third one something really fascinating, which is troublesome. Says the Sforno, what's Rivchem? Rivchem, says the Sforno, Afal pi shebiser osam sheyichnesu la'aretz. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu told them they were going into the land, Moshe Rabbeinu had to, Rivchem are disputes that are financial in nature, and they demand a Beis Din. And Bnei Yisrael, says the Sforno, were engaged in so much litigation with one another, it was too much for Moshe Rabbeinu, he had to hire layers of judges in order to handle all the cases. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is complaining about. So here's the question. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu complaining about that? If you're a dentist and a kid comes in or an adult comes into to your office with a cavity, you're going to complain that your patient has a cavity. If you don't want to fill cavities, if you don't want to do filling, don't be a dentist. But what are you complaining for? That's your job. Moshe Rabbeinu's job as Moshe Rabbeinu was to be the Malamed in chief and the Shofet in chief. And what were the judge, the chief judge? This is what his job was. People have disputes. You bring them to Moshe Rabbeinu and you get them resolved. Not only that, this is exactly the right thing for Klal Yisrael to be doing. If I have a taina against you that you owe me $50, or you have a taina against me that I owe you $50, so instead of punching each other in the nose, having some type of vigilante justice, whatever it might be, there's a system in place. You take the other party to a Beis Din. This is what you're supposed to do. What's Moshe complaining? Masachem tarchachem, I get. Not a problem. I can understand Moshe Rabbeinu being frustrated and complaining and declaring how to Klal Yisrael really how petty they are. But what's this, Verivchem? You're doing the right thing. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's job description. So what's the problem? So the Sforno goes on and explains the following. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu had told Klal Yisrael that they're entering the land of Israel. And they're not just going to enter Eretz Yisrael. They're going on conquest. And they're going on conquest with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as their partner, which means that there isn't going to be war in the sense that everybody will just fall just before Klal Yisrael, assuming Klal Yisrael does the right thing. Of course, in many instances, Klal Yisrael did not do the right thing, as we learned in Sefer Yoshua. But the plan is you put your faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam. You do what you have to do. You follow the rules and the regulations, and you do what Hashem asks of you, and it's going to be a cakewalk. You will have conquest of the land without any bloodshed on your, on the side of Klal Yisrael. Furthermore, they're going to go into the land of Israel. They're going to reap the benefits of every single shevet acquiring the land of the Shiva Amamim. They're going to become millionaires overnight, real estate moguls. And in addition to that, you have the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Materially speaking, spiritually speaking, Bnei Yisrael have, if I can put it in a different context, a $1 billion trust fund waiting for them in Eretz Yisrael. And they're suing each other over $100 bills. Where's the context? Where's the big picture here? Says the Sforno that Sha'afal pi shebiser osam sheyichnesu la'aretz, even though Moshe told them they're going in, without milchama, with all this nechasim waiting, with all this wealth waiting for them, Lo nimnu mila orer divrei rivos ishal chavero. They did not refrain from holding each other accountable in Beis Din, but ofan shehutzrach limnos madregos shoftim, that Moshe Rabbeinu had to set up layers and layers of judges to, on the judicial system just to handle the caseload. What's Moshe Rabbeinu's complaint, says the Sforno? They failed to see the big picture, and they got caught up in the kleinigkeit, in the small stuff, in the petty stuff, in the stuff that really, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't make a difference. Now, $100 is a lot of money. $5 is a lot of money. And if you're indigent, God forbid, $1 is a lot of money. But if I have $1 billion waiting for me, so can't I be mevater? Can't I just let it go? All right. So the guy owes me $50 because he broke my window. Big deal. I'm going to be bigger than that. I'm just going to let it go. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's complaint, that Klal Yisrael did not have the capability, or they did not rise to the level of being able to see the big picture and just let the other stuff go. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's complaint. Ah, what does this have to do with our Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, Lo matzasi laguf tov, Ela shesika. I never found anything as good for the body as silence, as quiet, as shtika. Says the Bar Tanura, what does this mean? Mi sheshomea cherposo, somebody who hears his shame, in other words, they are embarrassed or shamed or denigrated by another person, vishosek, and I'm quiet. You berate me, you embarrass me, you do all types of things to me, vishosek, and I'm quiet. And I just let it go. That's what it means. Lo matzasi laguf tov. There's nothing better for the person, ela shtika, rather than silence, rather than just close the mouth, be strong, ezehu hagibor hakovesh es yitzro, another important teaching, be strong, overcome the impulse to engage in fighting, and just be silent. Just let it go. Now, this is an important limud. Why is it so important? I mean, it's so important, it's indicated to be so important, because it says, Shimon, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, taught this, Kol yomai gadalti ben hachachamim. I lived my whole life amongst sages. And this is what I learned. This is what, most of the Mishnayos are, Hu Haya Omer, Kiblu Mehem, this is an important, these are, and they're all important. These are important received traditions. What does Shimon ben Gamliel say? I lived my life by Talmidei Chachamim my whole life. And this is what I gleaned from them. So why is this? I mean, this is, don't get me wrong, this is an important midah, to be able to, to let things go. But why is it, why is this, like, counted amongst the big ones? I mean, this is the Mishnah. What's the point here? So we have to understand who Shimon ben Gamliel was for a moment. When he lived, and what he saw with his two eyes, Shimon ben Gamliel, talking about the first of Shimon ben Gamliel, not the second one, right? There was Hillel HaZaken, right? And then there was Shimon, and then Gamliel, and Shimon, and Gamliel, Yehuda HaNasi, ultimately. But the first of Shimon ben Gamliel, right? The great-grandson of Hillel HaZaken. So we're talking about the first of Shimon ben Gamliel. When did he live, and what did his eyes see? He saw the Churban, or he saw everything leading up to the Churban, and he saw it coming. He's counted as one of the Asar Haruge Malchus. He was beheaded by the Romans. And he saw the decline and the demise of Bayis Sheni with his own eyes. He says, you know what I learned? I learned from Chachamim. I learned that there's nothing better than shtika. Just being able to be silent, be quiet, and let things go. This is the exact opposite of what Shimon ben Gamliel saw all around him. He saw Klal Yisrael in the time of the Churban and the end of the Second Temple period, Bayis Sheni, of Jews who couldn't get along with other Jews. And I'm sure we've heard this in other instances. Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam doesn't mean baseless hatred. Everybody has a reason to hate somebody. But it's not a good enough reason. Because you have to look at the big picture. And the big picture is redemption. The big picture is Geula. Or on the flip side, the big picture is the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The big picture is exile. So now let's do a cost-benefit analysis. Is it really worth it for me to be in machlokas with another person? Is it really worth it? In the grand scheme of things, I can choose to be kovesh mayetze, to be strong, and to just let it go, to see the big picture of Geula, to see the big picture of a Beis HaMikdash, the big picture of an intimate relationship with the Shekhinah, the big picture of peace and tranquility, the big picture of Klal Yisrael living a vibrant and profound and deep and healthy life together in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash at its center, on the one hand, or I can engage in this machlokas. I can say I'm never going to speak to this person again. Now, when you put it in terms like that, it's almost ridiculous. Who would make such a choice? Who would make such a choice? I'm never going to let anybody from my family marry for anybody in this family because so-and-so did me wrong. But who would make such a choice if we really thought about it that way? And that's what Shimon ben Gamliel is saying. Saying, you know what I've seen? I've lived my life amongst Chachamim, and there is nothing greater than the ability to be shosek, to be quiet and let it go. And I have seen the absence, the consequence of the absence of that. Lo matzasi laguf tov, I never found anything for the body, the physical body of the Jew, and the body of Klal Yisrael. Nothing better than shtika. As the Bar Tanura says, seeing somebody do demeaning me, the shosek. The ability to be demeaned, to be degraded, to be insulted, to feel all of those wrongs that have been done to me, misha shomea cherposo, the shosek. And then you're quiet. You just let it go. This is this is not just an educational statement. It's not just about, how to live a long life or how to make sure you eat a meal and don't choke, God forbid, or even an educational point about how a person should learn and assimilate Torah. And all of these are really, really important. But what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is saying is something that goes to the essential point of what it means to live a profound, deep, meaningful, purposeful Torah life. A life in which we have the extraordinary power to bring Geula. It is within our hands to do so. That's why this is Kol Yom Gadalti Bein HaChachamim. This is what I learned from the Chachamim. Everything else is important, but this one perhaps goes to the core. If we have the midah of shtika, of being able to forego, of being able to let it go, of being able to see the big picture, then we will be empowered with the wisdom and the courage to make the choices that in which we raise ourselves and raise those around us, to make the choices which enable us to open the door to be as HaMashiach, so the Mashiach Tzidkenu can walk through and usher in a time of goodness, of greatness, of peace, of deep connection between each and every Jew and the Shekhinah dwelling in the Beis HaMikdash. So there you have it. Shimon Beno Omer, Shimon Ben Gamliel taught us, Kol Yomai Gadalti Ben HaChachamim, I lived all my life, I was raised, I was reared amongst the Chachamim, V'lo Matzasi LaGuf Tov, and I never found anything better for the body, Ela Shesika, more rather than quiet. Chayni Yiratzon, everyone have a good week, and thank you for listening.